All right, 11:06 on a Friday, final Friday of February. We've made it. We've made it. Later, we will discuss Mr. Potato Head, which I did not realize there was a Mr. or Mrs., but now there's just a Potato Head. Just random things that happened yesterday. Let's welcome in from Husker Online, our good friends from Rivals, Brian Munson. Good Friday. Did you have a Mr. Potato Head when you were growing up?
I did not. My brother did. Never had much of a desire for that one. And I don't recall, gosh, I thought there was a Mr. and Mrs. at least back in the day.
You know, Brian, there's a lot of things we think about that there were back in the day that now that we're in this new world, we're reminded that there were not. Or what we were doing was completely wrong.
Well, I mean, these kids these days, you know, we got a PlayStation 5 here in the house, and I try to go back and say how thrilled it used to be. I used to be when I used to get Pong to set up where the ball would just go straight across, and I could just leave it there all day long and just let it go. So that was thrilling for me when I could set that thing up, and it would just go back and forth, and it would never do anything else. So yeah, things have changed quite a bit.
Hey, walk me through last weekend. Your perspective on Nebraska recruiting in-state. They get the news that we all knew was coming on Saturday, but the day before they make a very intriguing offer to a tight end from Pierce for the class of 23. How was last weekend for Nebraska recruiting in this state?
You know, so 2022 class, let's just start there. I think that was news that we all kind of expected. Sean was kind of breaking it to everyone easy over at Husker Online that he did not anticipate, you know, Nebraska being there in the top five for a couple guys in the 2022 class. You know, Deshaun Woods was one of those guys, the offensive tackle, and I have a little bit of a blank here real quick about what the other instant kid is.
Devin Jackson.
Jackson. He also decided, and their top five either was identical or very similar, 60+%, maybe 60 or 80% of it. So those guys basically don't have Nebraska in their purview at all right now going forward. And arguably, wherever you want to put them at, they're in that top five conversation. They're 100%. They're in that top five conversation. And then obviously that's disappointing. I think, however, we were all kind of anticipating it. It's not a great feeling. I think it's one of those things, though, however, that Nebraska can not necessarily cut bait from and move kind of on from. That's tough to do, but I think it's better to understand where you stand at with some of these guys and say, hey, look, we're going to still go down fighting, but we've obviously got to have our attention elsewhere because we just don't feel like it's going to be really possible with what the information is you're kind of giving us. Then you turn back around, and a guy that we were trying to chase down last Friday night was Ben Brommer out of Pierce, 6'6", 200-pound guy. Now, this was a guy that when the in-state tour that Nate and Sean and Greg were doing for Husker Online, this guy really stood out to them. This was one of the immediate results out of that whole in-state tour from them was Brommer's a good-looking kid. Mm-hmm. The film really kind of stood up, and then when I caught him on Saturday morning, basically Nebraska had the same thing to tell him. They loved his film on the football field, and they loved his film on the basketball court. So there were definitely some things to feel very optimistic about when it came to him as an athlete. 6'6", 200-pound guy, can really move. You really wonder where his frame is going to kind of take him. He knows that he's light, but I mean, Iowa State still, you know, threw down that first offer. Iowa State, I think, followed Nebraska like immediately following. And he's got a lot of other attention again that, you know, we start talking about those normal guys that are kind of tapping into the state of Nebraska that are kind of keeping tabs on the Iowas, mm-hmm. the Northwesterns. You know, you go back to Ernest Hausman. Hausman and you and I talked last week. We talked about Northwestern and Notre Dame. Here's Northwestern again kind of sniffing on Brommer, a 2023 kid. So this guy right here is going to be a very interesting one to watch over the next couple of years.
So you know how recruiting works. You can't I think Mike Riley's staff made a mistake on guys they hung around with too long that Nebraska didn't have a chance at. And so they missed out on other guys that were next down on their board because they were just hoping and praying when it wasn't realistic. So you have two players, and I think Woods is the miss. I never got the sense that Jackson wanted to stay home, but you have a big offensive lineman that's a four-star in your own state. That's a miss. We'll see if Nebraska can get back in there, but they got to move on because there are other prospects. It's a really good year for 2022 in the state, whether two guys from Bellevue West, Hausman, who you mentioned from Columbus. I think I'll throw a third guy into the mix is Henry Rickles at Bellevue West, who's 6'4", 275, a tackle. He doesn't have a lot of attention. He's a good player. I think his stock would blow up if schools were able to come through to Bellevue West. I think he's there. You've got Applegate at Lincoln Southeast. Yep. So if Nebraska, and you know, the percentages so far have been good, but it's just like snubs in an all-star game. It's guys that get away that we spend a lot of time on.
Right. Applegate was the guy I was going to throw in on top of the guy that you threw in. But go ahead.
So how many guys of the people that we just mentioned, how many guys, Brian, do you think right now in your gut on February 26th, and we're talking about a class that doesn't have anybody in it yet, Nebraska actually gets or has a realistic shot to get a commitment?
So if we expanded, so if you have offers to your top five, right, the guys we've all mentioned, and you throw in an Applegate who doesn't have an offer yet, I think that he could be the next one that does get an offer. Maybe two guys out of that six, and that's and I think you're down now to Hausman and to Applegate being those guys. I'm just not feeling it for the other four guys that are there as part of that kind of top of the list players in the state, and people probably would tell me that, of course, I'm being a little bit just negative about the whole thing, and I'm not. I'm just trying to be realistic. I think that Nebraska has done a good job noticing these guys early and sending out the offers. It's not about when they were offered or when the offer came in relationship to what other school. Nebraska offered for the majority of those kids very, very early. And it just, to your point, Jackson's not from Nebraska. He lives there now, but he's not from. And he and Woods are close buddies, and they've talked about going and doing this thing together. And unfortunately, when you get a guy that's not from the state, lives there in the state, doesn't have any desire to stay in the state, doesn't have an affinity for Nebraska, and his best friend happens to be that offensive tackle that really would look good dressed in red down the road in Lincoln, it just doesn't line up very well. So I think Hausman is a guy that does end up eventually coming to Nebraska, but I think things are going to get really, really, really interesting for him. I think he is a guy that athletically maybe one of the better players in the state just because of his athleticism and his versatility. He is going to add to the repertoire playing inside linebacker this year after playing outside last year and playing in the secondary as a sophomore. So athletically, he is very, very talented and a smart kid. And then Applegate, I think, is another one of those truly great athletes that's in the state right now that I think it's just if teams and coaches could come through and see him this spring, I think things could really take off for him too potentially.
So let's get some answers here because, you know, I'm curious and I'm fortunate enough to, with all the high school stuff I do, I get to know these guys and get to know the coaches. And so I'm just curious on how the process works. So I want to know, hey, what was Nebraska selling you? Why was this school more appealing to you? Why did you choose this school? And there's a variety of answers. Sometimes it might be what I do for a living. We're to blame because we're talking about it all the time. And when you're not winning, we don't have much to talk about, you know? So it can be construed as sports talk, and all the media coverage of Nebraska football is overwhelming and it's negative. But again, you don't have wins to talk about. But Nebraska, as they go throughout the state, and that's the thing. You know, I say at some point you got to start running it forward with this program and focus on guys that are currently on your campus, but it's in-state recruiting. We know what it is. And you can't go into the fetal position and go, you know, woe is me, because the talent is going to continue to grow in this state. And once somebody says no, you got to move on to the next one that's going to say yes. But as Nebraska makes their pitch throughout the state, and I think they got to make their pitch differently in different parts of the state and to different types of kids. If you're Nebraska in state, what is the brand that you are selling? What is your selling point right now for Nebraska football to convince a kid to stay home? Either they have no connection to Nebraska, they didn't grow up as a Nebraska fan, or even the kid that his family has been season ticket holders and he has dreamt of this offer. What are you selling as your brand right now inside of these borders?
The challenge to get Nebraska back to where it once was. And that's a tough sale, just because these kids are missed out on seeing those glory days that you and I can sit back and very easily close our eyes and remember and think about. But you Scott Frost did some right things this week with bringing back a couple guys to kind of link back to the program with, you know, with Foreman and Peter. And I think that these are guys that can kind of connect the dots and fill in that gap. And I think that what you still got Scott on the staff, obviously, that has that national championship ring. Barrett Rood being from the state that can go back and talk about being, you know, the top player in the state and what it was like to follow dad and follow grandpa and have a brother that followed him. It comes back to understanding the pride and the returning the pride back to Lincoln, and just to kind of get back to this thing about being kind of that sleeping giant. I don't think these kids really understand how great it was mm-hmm. it once was in the 90s, how great those teams were. And I think that with a couple key guys and some right mentality there in the locker room and on the football field, that they could be very, very close, and they just don't know how close it is. They need a catalyst. They need something that's going to kind of draw them together, that's going to make them see the big picture, to connect the dots. There are some of those guys that were in that 2021 class that I think have that kind of makeup, but I think that they need a couple more of those guys that they can just kind of put into the room and challenge these guys on a daily basis to give their best efforts, to put their best foot forward, and it's going to lead to those types of things on the football field. So it's a return pride. You want to be successful? We can be successful here with you being part of that picture, mm-hmm. and let me show you how we're going to go ahead and do it. But I think that I want to go ahead and stress it again. I think there's this sleeping giant kind of mentality that the coaches and the players currently on that team have got to have, and that's got to like start coming out to when those recruits can start coming in, that's the message that these recruits are having. Well, we're going somewhere. This is where we want to get back to. We don't think we're that far away. You could be one of those missing links for us.
Doesn't it just add to what is already very apparent, is 21 is kind of make or break for Nebraska football with this current mm-hmm. regime, whether it be results on the field or development of players that I can sell to an in-state kid, whether it be a fellow Bellevue West wide receiver, a in-state lineman on the offensive or defensive line. I mean, it just keeps adding to how important this year is to have success and to move the program forward, not remain in place or take a step back. Because I think if that's the case, whether it be in-state recruiting, out-of-state recruiting, I don't know what you're selling then, because you can't sell. I think you're past selling the head coach. You got to sell tangible results in his new home.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying at all, because I think that there's a you're very much in danger of finding a way to continue to connect. There's a relevancy now. The relevancy that Nebraska still has is still through the coaching staff. We are still the guys from UCF. We were the guys that turned it around. And yeah, COVID here played this huge role with us. And man, we haven't practiced much basically since last November. We missed out on the spring, and it really showed last fall. But if you really kind of took a look and looked in these corners, you see reasons to be positive. And we feel like with a full spring that we can get back to doing what we were doing here and get the program going again full force. And obviously you saw market improvement in Orlando. we're predicting it again here in Lincoln. How, whether we make that huge jump this year or if it's a jump over 2 years, we're not really quite sure. But we, but that 2021 group that you just mentioned, I think that that's, those are your selling points. Those are the guys that you're going to be able to put in front of the other players to say, it's possible to do the things that you want to do. If you come here, look at these guys, look at this guy, look at that guy. This is the same position. You know, he'll be here for another 2 years after you get here to help groom you in. I really feel like this is a very critical year to kind of take that step forward. The 2021 group, there's a lot of attention on it to be productive, maybe not necessarily in year one, but definitely like in year two, and to become kind of those examples, those positive, shiny examples that people can go back and say, this demonstrates that you can get to basically the NFL or mm-hmm. to some sort of a all-conference kind of recognition again by coming from the area, staying in the area, coming to Lincoln, and doing the job here under Scott Frost.
And it, you know, add another guy on the back end on the defense, Cam Taylor-Britt, you know?
Yeah.
You have him have another year where he makes progress and then is a guy that's going to move on to the NFL. Just, you know, I like people to bet on themselves. You got some confidence. I think that's what this program is doing in 21. But this is one of those things that your bet's got to pay off, because if not, boy, you are wandering in the Sahara right now. When do you think, your gut says, I don't need a name, but we know what the challenges are for Nebraska. Doesn't have anybody in the class of 2022, and the restrictions that are on them now, that are on everybody in terms of the dead period being extended. When do you think Nebraska will get their first verbal commitment of 2022?
Oh, man. You hope that there's a couple of guys that, you know, may be able to kind of connect the dots with Lincoln and the school and the program by maybe taking like an unofficial visit and just doing like similarly like what Seth Malcolm did, mm-hmm. where they just kind of piled in the car and drove. Like, you know, I talked to a guy, the update's coming here too on him, but Quentin Conley. Quentin Conley is a wide receiver out of Kansas City. Nebraska likes him as a wide receiver. Rivals list him as a tight end, so if you can't see him, that's why. But Quentin Conley has been in Nebraska a handful of times. He's been there for an Iowa game, a South Alabama game. He's been there for that summer barbecue, you know, a year mm-hmm. or two ago, and then he was supposed to make it up to a junior day that ended up getting canceled last spring. So he's a guy that basically has been there, has seen the environment, loved the environment, and just said to me, he's like, I never got a chance to, like, look around. I mean, I saw all the football facilities. Like, we were, you know, inside of rooms and buildings, and I saw all the weight room stuff, and I saw the stadium. I never got to see the campus. I never got to, like, just kind of stroll around and get a feel for stuff. I think that there's a number of buckets that some of these guys are kind of in. I think there's far fewer players in the Conley bucket, where they kind of have been in Nebraska a handful of times, and maybe there's a gap or two that they don't feel like, you know, that they've been able to kind of fill yet. And I think that there's a lot more guys that are kind of like in that bucket of, well, I've done the virtual visit. I liked what I saw. I like what I've been hearing from all the coaches, but I really need to kind of touch it, feel it, smell it. And then there's the other guys that are just saying, like, look, come June, I'm really hoping that I can get out of here and go start hitting the camp circuits and getting up there and really kind of getting in front of these guys so they can kind of see me a little bit, that I know I'm getting some attention, but really they need to put eyes on to kind of get my eval going to see where I can go with this thing. So there's some multiple bucket things that are mm-hmm. kind of going on. And I think all those things are really kind of still being held back by the dead period, except for the guys that are in that Conley bucket. And there's yeah. just not a lot of them anymore, just because of where, how young these kids were when the original dead period started last spring.
It's still down the road, but we hear the phrase kick the can down the road. And when I look at the NCAA yep. and what they're doing with in-person recruiting, when are we going to have a plan for when we get to June 1? Because there's a, you know, I think there's probably a lot of programs across the country set up their spring game thinking we've got a lot of things in place for protocol that we could have some prospects on campus for our spring game. Well, we know that's not the case because the dead period got extended to May 31st. Brian, what do you think some clarity will come from the NCAA on what we're going to do on June 1 instead of kicking the can down the road? Because if we do that, I know that it'll impact colleges, but even more prospects in the 22 class.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, they have to the immediately following basically drawing the curtain closed on through the end of May, there has to be the plan being pulled together to reopen on June 1st. It's hand to glove. You can go ahead and say that from a safety perspective, which maybe not everybody agrees with, and clearly there's been some backlash based on the Division I announcement with all the D2 and D3 recruiting that's going on still and how the safety parameters are in place for those levels. But you're going to have to turn back around and say, look, we do have these concerns in place for recruiting, for what's going on, for your camps, for hosting players, and we're starting to putting together those protocols to be, you know, in line with as much as we have currently that's in place, taking a look at what's happening with the teams or what would happen potentially with guests, you know, and all sorts of stuff, and trying to find a way to kind of pre-screen and then screen again when they do show up, when it comes to, so you have a proactive and you have a reactive, and then when you get through that screening of basically temperature and asking about symptoms, and once you can kind of clear that, and then allowing them to kind of come through your door, and then talking about gathering spaces and what needs to happen, you know, and how you kind of move people through and how it's kind of going to have to cycle and all that good stuff. I can see there being something along those lines about, you know, hey, look, we don't want any more than six people in this kind of confined room. You know, it's going to limit you to kind of address everybody all together. So move that stuff outside into the stadium, pull your megaphones out, pull your PA system out, whatever, and address them together and put your spacing out there. We don't want you to have host groups larger than 100, 150, and then move them together, move them through basically these things as stations, and then have everything hosted, you know, and test everybody else as they're in and out.
Well, let's hope that's the case. I know there's, I think programs are hopeful that June 1 they'll get some clarity. I mean, of course, well before June 1. But there's also the sense of you're dealing with the NCAA, and right now they're kicking the can down the road when it comes to recruiting. It's not only football coaches, it's basketball coaches, it's prospects across the board, boys and girls, that want some clarity. Hopefully we get that. B. Muntz, as always, I appreciate the insight and the conversation. Have a wonderful and a safe weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Do the same. Looking forward to it. See ya.
That's Brian Munson from Husker Online. We'll get a little bit more. I said yesterday, what are you selling as the brand? And we kind of ran out of time. We will circle back to that. Brian Christopherson is going to join us here in a little bit. I'm sure that he has a thought or two on what you do to sell. Sometimes you can do as much as possible. If somebody wants to go away, there's not much you can do. They want to go see something else. But what are you selling right now when you don't have wins? The head coach is not the guy that used to be at Central Florida. He was, yeah, at Central Florida. We got to focus on his name is Scott Frost. He's the head coach in Nebraska. Not the played quarterback in Nebraska, won a national title, or had an unbeaten team at Central Florida. He's the head coach at Nebraska. What are you selling there? Because you're not selling wins, and how much longer can you sell hope for players to come in and play for you? All right, 11:29. BC's coming up here in a little bit. Plus, Bill Connolly released his top 60 quarterbacks of the 2000s. A little bit of a debate, as most of lists are. This is a good time of the year to drop a list like that. You'd be very curious on his top five. So what I did, as I said, you know what? There's been 17 quarterbacks that have started a football game in the 2000s at Nebraska. I ranked them 1 through 17. Of course I did, because it's Friday on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.